Rocky Fantasy Rankings, courtesy of Hayden Winks. Here we go. We're going to go quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. You can check them out in the description down below. I can't wait for this one. It's pivotal times, Hayden, because like players are emerging who we didn't give a shit about 6 weeks ago. Rookies are off their buys. That means they're getting that bump, and they are huge factors in their offenses. Plus, you know, quarterback changes, offensive line changes are impacting just about everything. Talk us through this chart real quick and maybe pinpoint a couple of these teams that we're going to talk about with the quarterbacks in hand too.
Yeah, so this chart is kind of like the tiebreaker chart and just kind of how much upside we have. So we have points projected from Vegas, and then we have how fast their offense is playing in neutral situations. You want to be up here with the big boys. And then there's some teams down here that...
I mean, look at the Broncos being dead last and everything.
It's bad.
When all of their ADPs, I know, are 13 weeks removed from this, being skyrocketed, not just because their week 17 matchup, but because of what the passing offense could be. It, to me, that perfectly encapsulates all these conversations that we're once again going to have in the summers. And then we're here as we're just about to approaching the fantasy football playoffs, and you don't want to play any of those dudes.
Well, I mean, look at some of these quietly. Look at the elite categories. Very interesting to me. The Jaguars, the Lions, the Seahawks. Yep. Man.
Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, we're going to get into that. I put together all these graphics for Hayden's rankings every single week. There's some eye openers. Let's kick it off.
Oh, boy.
With the quarterbacks, I always guess what these top tiers could be, and it feels like actually these top tiers of quarterbacks are getting smaller and smaller. Here we are in S tier. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, and Josh Allen. With Patrick Mahomes, it's against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a total of 53 right now. Two-point favorites on the road, the Chiefs are. We got that awesome game in last year's playoffs between these two teams. Bunch of points in that one. Bunch of points expected in this one.
Yeah, there's a reason the Chiefs are projected for the most points this week. So I'm going Patrick Mahomes at one. The interesting part for the A tier, we all know Jalen Hurts is balling out. He's locked in there. Justin Herbert, we've had down in the A tier, maybe even flirting in a couple of weeks with B tier because of injuries and matchups. This week, I'm very optimistic for Justin Herbert. Right now, they are number one in neutral offensive pace, number one in neutral pass rate. And now we have at least Keenan Allen's back. I know the offensive line is still really tattered, but the Raiders right now is so bad. Max Crosby's having a good season, but the rest of them are terrible. They have no other pass rush. Clelin Ferrell, Chandler Jones combined for one sack this year. Their secondary is completely messed up, and the Raiders' offense is keeping pace. And the Chargers' defense, meanwhile, they're all banged up too. Their interior defensive line's trash. Joey Bosa is still weeks away. JC Jackson's out. So this is a very positive game environment for Justin Herbert. So this is a week to be optimistic again.
Okay. Counterpoint. We always talk through the formula and home favorites expected to score 24 points. And just as we went live here, we looked at the spreads, and Vegas are 1.5-point favorites over the Chargers at home. That has moved from, 2.5-point favorites the Chargers are on the road. It's a little shocking to me. Now, the total is still 50.5. That might be the most important thing here. I'm with you, and especially if Andrew Billings, who was a home wrecker last week against the Seattle Seahawks, was a major reason why Kenneth Walker and the rest of their offense couldn't really get going. Because he left last week's game, if he is hobbled for this one, not 100%, that could greatly impact what the Chargers could have success doing. Because like you said, name one player beyond Max Crosby on this Raiders defense that you're excited about each week.
So bad. And then on the flip side, Josh Allen's a very hard ranking tonight just because their team total is under 24 points. It's been 30. Like, I think on Thanksgiving, it was at 32. So on the road, their left tackle, Deion Dawkins, is out. Matthew Judon has a huge advantage over him. Josh Allen hasn't been playing as well recently. Maybe it's the UCL. We don't really know. But I had to make some adjustments just because the team total is way lower than it typically is.
You know, I didn't talk about this on Stats versus Film. Hopefully you all check out that show each and every week on Tuesdays. The reason why we fell in love with Isaiah McKenzie last year was this matchup right here.
Deep damn coverage. Crossers,
crossing routes, the overs. What we saw last week from Isaiah McKenzie might just be a little appetizer for what we see here this week. I mean, I know that Bill and Steve probably spent all offseason being like, that damn Isaiah McKenzie's not going to beat us once again. But with how much Josh Allen is putting on his shoulders here, and you know, there's so many instances where he can either rush for 7 yards or launch a pass for 17 yards, there's not much consistency outside of, you know, Stephon Diggs, and maybe McKenzie in this matchup and the solid defense that the Patriots play can be that. And we can, you know, that would allow Josh Allen to reach this total that you were having him in the S tier.
Yeah, the last two games, there was that one crazy rain wind game. The last two games, he's rushed for 66 and 64 yards against this man-heavy defense. The counter note on the Isaiah McKenzie is, doesn't Bill Belichick remove the best player on their offense? Isn't that a concern for Isaiah McKenzie?
Fair. 100% fair. Okay, drop down to A tier here. We have Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. They are on Sunday Night Football against the Indianapolis Colts. I believe that got flexed into this category, and they are 10.5 point home favorites here with a total of 44.5. So Dak's going to go off. The only question is if it's going to be passing touchdowns or rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Their team total is higher, and it would be, it's like an S tier team total, but they've been relatively balanced this year versus the last couple of years. So Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow, keep like going back and forth with, because Joe Burrow is like the opposite. Joe Burrow, we know that the game environment, we know that they're going to pass like crazy. This is a matchup between the number one and number two neutral pass rate offenses over the last month of the year with the Bengals and the Chiefs. Jamar Chase is due back. I know the Chiefs defense is pretty good in general, but Joe Burrow dropped 446 yards in 2022 like on January 2nd, and then went back for 250 with two touchdowns. So I think this game's going to continue to get bet up. It started out at, like, at 51.5. I wrote that it should be higher than 52.5. I see it's now at 53. I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets up to 54. This is clearly the best game environment. So Joe Burrow very comfortably in the A tier.
We talked a lot about Lamar Jackson and stats versus film. We don't have to revisit all of that. He just hasn't, you know, hit elite status as a passer because of drop touchdown passes that we see each and every week. I mean, the fact that he had 10 in the opening 3 weeks and about 8 or 7 since, it's pretty crazy. But he also has, I believe, 31 runs of 10 plus yards this season.
He's balling there.
He is at his peak in terms of rushing, and they need it every single week.
With Lamar Jackson, the Broncos on paper have a elite defense. I'm going to be fading them right now. Bradley Chubb trade, Randy Gregory's on IR, Ronald Darby's on IR. They have Caden Stearns is mixes in, Jonas Griffith, who's a linebacker for them. All of them are out, and you have to wonder, we see them of the Broncos, are they just giving up? And I wouldn't even blame them. I don't really like to talk about effort, but this is such a disaster in Denver right now that I have to wonder how much they even give a shit.
Okay, B tier gets interesting. Trevor Lawrence tops this list, and really he's your quarterback 8 on the week. Yeah. They're facing the Detroit Lions, 1-point favorites on the road. We love tight games when it says this, and we love it even more when it's a total of 51.5.
Yeah, the total is elite. Obviously, the Lions are dead last against fantasy quarterbacks. We'll see if Jeff Okuda returns this week after a concussion, but even if he is out there, they are the worst team against it. So this is a game where I think the Jaguars' defense started out kind of feisty. It's been really bad recently, so this is back to shootout potential. And there's on off splits for Jared Goff as well. I have Jared Goff quietly in my top 10. They're averaging 0.27 more EPA per dropback when Amon-Ra St. Brown is on the field. We have a healthy Amon-Ra St. Brown. Shaq Griffin's out for the Jaguars as well, so this is one of the sneaky games. I hate ranking Jared Goff inside my top 10. I don't feel very comfortable even ranking T-Law inside my top 8. But that's the status right now because both these defenses are so trash.
We'll talk more about the Jaguars receivers when we get there. Next up, you have Deshaun Watson, the redacted quarterback who you have to rank here. Look, they are on the road against the Houston Texans, 7-point favorites here. I don't think it's as simple, obviously, everyone out there knows this, that, oh, Jacoby Brissett's been doing this. We can expect this from Deshaun Watson. I have no clue to expect from Deshaun Watson. However, this is the easiest matchup they've had all season long. And if you've been holding on to him in two quarterback leagues, or if you picked him up in one quarterback leagues, there are always growing pains when a new quarterback is in a new offense, especially we didn't have like a really full offseason to do it. But he has been practicing with this team for like the last week or two.
Yep.
Who knows everything that goes on there. Anyways, what I'm basically saying is I understand where you have him in the top 10, and I think it's almost impossible to rank him any higher or even lower because of the matchup and the situation.
Yeah, I guess I pretty much nailed this then. Deshaun Watson, what happened here is the Texans are really bad, but they're really bad in the run game. Offense is facing the Texans are running the ball neutral game scripts at the highest rate in the league, and that's led to them being dead last in running back points. But quietly, look at this chart. They're third actually against fantasy quarterbacks because their offense is so anemic. These, you score two early touchdowns and then you never pass the ball again.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. So Derek Stingley is out. So I have a really high ranking for Amari Cooper, but this is just like Nick Chubb week really for me, and less so about the redacted quarterback, especially like you said, we don't know what version we're getting here from Deshaun. And I just want to root against him, to be honest.
And Amari Cooper's on the road, Hayden. Did you know that? All right. You mentioned Jared Goff. Then it's probably the top streamer once again this week, and Jimmy Garoppolo, Miami Dolphins defense. And I also want to package in here with a Geno Smith conversation against the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to the running back rankings in just a little bit, but the Seahawks, because of Aaron Donald being out this weekend, have jumped from 4.5-point favorites to 7-point favorites on the road. Geno's had some rocky times in recent weeks with some interceptions and some turnovers. What I love about Geno is he immediately forgets those and will instantly test vertically and look for explosive plays. And we kind of talked about with the Broncos defense how you don't want to say that they've been playing soft or giving up, so on and so forth. See the same thing for the Rams defense.
100%.
Like their secondary, their safeties, their cornerbacks, all of it. There are times when the talent does not match the effort that they put out there, and mm-hmm. they are giving up explosive plays to all levels of the field.
And it's not just Aaron Donald for the Rams missing. Also, A'shaun Robinson, one of their edge rushers, a starter for them, also on injured reserve. So, yeah, I agree. Geno Smith, he'll throw a random interception and then come back and throw three dots on the sideline, yes, or over the middle down the field. DK Metcalf, major positive regression candidate. I think that this is like the Broncos, good defense on paper, but not in reality.
I want to go down to the, what is it? The C tier, and around like quarterback 15, maybe even lower than that. You have Tua Tagovailoa, and people are going to say, well, Hayden, why are you predicting an offensive failure for the Dolphins now? Okay. I will be your hype man and tell you that since week 7, the Dolphins have paced the pass defenses ranked 28th, 30th, 31st, 22nd, and 27th in yardage. So this is one of those situations where I firmly believe in Tua and this passing offense, because no one truly has, you know, the cars, the speed, whatever, to match up with the wheels that they have at wide receiver. But it's like the age-old fantasy conundrum of, we have this offense that no one expected to be this good, and they've thrived in every game that Tua has played from start to finish. But now they face undoubtedly the best defense in the league from also a staff that knows Mike McDaniel and this offense quite well.
Yeah, my first thing I always go back to is how many points are they projected to score? And Miami historically has been in the elite category for this season. This week, they're right next to the Jets and the Steelers based off of the matchup. And I totally get it. It's not just that the 49ers defense is elite. Like if you look at these numbers on off splits with Nick Bosa, we're talking about negative EPA per drop back for opposing defenses. And it makes sense. You watch this defense, they fly all over the place. And on top of that, Teron Armstead is likely going to be out. They have, he has a chance to play, but even if he does, he's not going to be at full strength. The Dolphins offensive line, their pressure rate goes from 27% with Teron Armstead up to 51%. And then his potential replacement, Austin Jackson, Fidon, and Liam Eichenberg, both are injured as well. Right. So right
it's
now,
Greg Little or Brandon Shell.
Playing, I mean, good luck. Good luck. It's Nick Bosa. And
now the other part of this, though, is you know, Tua is getting the ball out of his hands in like 2.55 seconds.
Right.
Again, the 49ers have talented and are deep at defensive line, especially at linebacker, and now at safety and quarterback, too. Mm-hmm. So like if you force him to hold the ball for like 2.7 seconds. This is what my fear was, even against the Houston Texans, like we talked about. As soon as Teron Armstead went out in that game, he was sacked 3 or 4 times, was hit 3 or 4 times, and then they immediately pulled him. I don't want to be this person that's saying this is like the matchup where we see everything for Tua. I think that this ranking's slightly lower. Like I cannot get in my head, and I understand the formulas and all that stuff to like have him below Jared Goff, to be perfectly honest with you. But this is, again, to reuse this, the age-old fantasy conundrum where you have a offense that's been sterling. It's been perfect all season long. But does defense win out, and does defense actually matter?
Well, I think it matters when you have Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and them. But yeah, this, to me, my starting point is going to be the betting markets, because there's $1 million of going on each side of this to find how many points are projected to score. And Jared Goff and those guys, I hate to say it, they're projected to score 5 more points than the damn Lions.
You can check out the rest of those rankings, including his reasoning for Justin Fields and Tom Brady, in the description down below if you want to. All right, here we go. Over to running backs now. So we talked about Justin Herbert and the passing game having the best matchup of the week against the Raiders' pass defense, the worst in DVOA. It makes sense then that Austin Eckler ranks as the number one. Well, he's the running game. He's also the passing game. I mean, 80 receptions, I think, so far, something like that. It's nutso stuff. And so him as a rusher against this defense and obviously as a receiver is the easy way to get home as the running back one. After that, you have Nick Chubb, as you outlined, against the Houston Texans. And that brings me to running back three in Kenneth Walker III. You know, there's been some questions, even from some of our favorite people like T. Strack, asking, has Kenneth Walker hit the wall? You know, on 91 of his last rushing attempts, he only has 15 forced missed tackles, a big play run rate of about 5.5%. In weeks 1 through 6, 23 forced missed tackles on 44 attempts, which was 52% of his carries, and a big run rate of 11.36%. You know where I stand on Kenneth Walker, and obviously where you stand is him as the running back three this week.
Yeah, positive game script. No Aaron Donald, no edge rusher, like I mentioned, and Kenneth Walker as a starter, 18 half PPR points, 15.7 expected half PPR points. Currently, according to the fantasy usage model, he's the RB6 in usage over the last month. So to me, like, this is just fade the noise. Like, yeah, he lost some yards, guys. He didn't break off a long touchdown every single week. I mean, we're overanalyzing this. Bet on Ken Walker, damn it. Easy.
I'm with you. And obviously, even if people had whatever concerns, they're still ranking within their top 20 backs. I just think it's notable that you have him as a third overall player at his position. And it makes sense to me because he is nasty at the game. All right. Running back four is interesting. It's Ramondre Stevenson. Damien Harris is out. It's as simple as, hey, we can expect Ramondre Stevenson to get 19 touches tonight.
Easy as that. Without Damien Harris, he's averaging 19.1 expected half PPR points. It's hard to fail at that status.
Okay. Then it is Jonathan Taylor. Do you think Jonathan Taylor has looked better? I mean, what terrifies me a little bit is, sure, early on they're going to get him his points and his opportunities. But again, it's a 10.5-point spread here on Sunday Night Football. And at some point, when we get to halfway through the third quarter into the fourth quarter, he could be game scripted out of this thing.
Yes, but they're not playing Deion Jackson much at all either. So I even think in those negative game scripts, it's not going to be as bad. They clearly just like want that to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor.
The rest of this tier, it's Dalvin Cook, then Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon. Josh Jacobs finds himself here. And it sounds like, to me, Josh Jacobs is going to play, just probably not practice all week. But that's against the Los Angeles Chargers, who also allow you to run on them. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders are willingly doing that. And then Saquon Barkley here to end tier one, the top 10 overall. Anything you want to say about any of these names?
Yeah, I find this tier really interesting. Dalvin Cook is one of the biggest positive regression candidates according to the fantasy usage model. Derrick Henry, what to look for with him. Titans center Ben Jones, is he going to play? He's in the concussion protocol. And then on the flip side, Jordan Davis for the Eagles. This is the trench matchup of the year to me. Just testosterone limits to the roof. Joe Mixon, we'll see what happens. I think that he's due back from the protocol, limited in practice. And Josh Jacobs, I will be ranking him higher if this calf injury checks out. And then Saquon Barkley, look for Evan Neal, Ben Bredesen, Daniel Bellinger, all blocking types on the front seven. He's been averaging 52 more yards per game with them healthy. They all left in week 7. They're due back this week. I want to be buying low on Saquon Barkley if I can.
Liver King testosterone levels is what we could be getting,
apparently,
with Derrick Henry running into Jordan Davis. Okay, here we go. B-tier time, or excuse me, A-tier. Aaron Jones as running back 11 and Travis Etienne as running back 12. Aaron Jones, despite, you know, the spiked week last week for A.J. Dillon, he is the one who is still the consistent member of this passing game and easily the consistent member of the rushing attack. And just in case, you know, A.J. then racks up a 20-plus yard run. Why are you showing me this?
Because the Bears defense is
showing me Michael Carter clips?
No, that is what Aaron Jones is going to be going up against this week. That's the only thing I have to say about that. Travis Etienne, that's more of a placeholder just because limited on Wednesday. We'll see how much of a big deal it is. And then I think there's kind of like a tier drop somewhere around running back 10.
Okay, question. If Etienne is out, Jamichael Hasty, top 20 back.
I would, as long as the pregame reports kind of check out, I think that's where I'd be sliding him in, is around there.
Dave Montgomery is still breaking tackles. The Packers defense as a whole, and especially against the run, has been really brutal this season, like really bad. So if Justin Fields has, you know, good enough standing to play in this game and play up to the level of his ability that we've seen in recent weeks, I think Dave Montgomery definitely puts in at least a running back two performance.
Yeah, 14.6, 16.7 expected half PPR points without Khalil Herbert. I think if Justin Fields is active, but he can't run as much, I think that's like perfectly set up for David Montgomery. No Darnell Mooney as well. So I think there's like more touches. It's hard to fail at that point.
Christian McCaffrey next. I don't know how much we need to talk about Christian McCaffrey because people are going to start him no matter what. But like, is there anything you want to say on the front of your expectation for what his ceiling might be this week?
So tendonitis, you have to just not use your knee to get over it. And that's why he's going to be limited in practice, I think, for the rest of the season. 13.3 expected half PPR points last week. I'm using that kind of as a baseline for where he is. He's a hard ranking. This kind of is in line. If he sees 14 expected half PPR points, gets his like 15 to 20 touches, nothing beyond that, I think this is kind of where you slide in. Matchup's totally fine.
By the way, if you've never checked out our videos, welcome. Leave a thumbs up. Subscribe. About like, I don't know, 45% of you that watch these are not subscribed. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Change that. The Christian McCaffrey stuff, I know he's limited on Wednesdays or like not practicing. That was the same thing in Carolina, by the way, before this. Like they were just resting him on Wednesdays anyways. But Jamal Williams, the one-yard king, sits in as their running back 15. You have to do it. I mean, again, no team specializes more in getting down to the 1 yard line and allowing their best player to score touchdowns for them. Miles Sanders after that. And then the Cowboys duo of Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, again, 10.5 point favorites. At least one of those dudes is scoring a touchdown, and heck, maybe even both this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. This is a tough ranking for them. This is kind of where they check out and expected half PPR points when both of them have been healthy over like the last month of the year. And you can see in the chart, Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard kind of going back and forth with things. So who's more likely, Tony Pollard to rip off a 40-yard run or for Zeke Elliott to get a goal line touchdown here?
Both.
Flip a coin, both in both as like upside RB2s. What do you want me to do? All I know is that the Cowboys are supposed to score 27 points this week.
Right.
So you want to be optimistic, but like it's, you can't rank Tony Pollard as a top 10 back right now because the way that he's being used.
Yeah, play both. I mean, it is one of those games where both can get home. Okay, it gets really interesting here. I'm sure Gus Edwards was like a frustration ranking. You have him as running back 19. Like he had what, 16 carries for like 49 yards last week, had a touchdown, also had a fumble that almost lost that game for them basically, or did. Big plays are not a factor for Gus Edwards right now. It's you're hoping for short yardage touchdowns, and that's about it.
Yeah, he had 15
points. Owning the backfield is the other way of putting this. But
yeah,
owning the backfield is not as successful as some might view it in a Ravens backfield because, as we talked about, Lamar Jackson has 31 runs this year, 10-plus yards.
I agree. I do think Gus Edwards has a chance for a big play just because of how efficient the run game has been for the Ravens. But this just kind of goes back. I mean, he had 15.6 expected half PPR points last week because he dominated Kenyon Drake when it comes to touches. And Kenyon Drake, on his three touches, he actually dropped a pass out in the flat. So this is just, this aligns with where his usage was. And I think that Gus Edwards is a fine enough talent in this offense to kind of pay off.
Talk me through Jaylen Warren at running back 20. Now, I put these rankings and the visuals up last night. I don't know if this has changed, but Jaylen Warren, who missed last week, is saying he's going to play this week. Benny Snell filled in for Najee Harris, who left halfway through last week. Either way, this is an aggressive ranking for a Pittsburgh Steelers running back, but from just like a pure understanding who the Steelers have been this year, but now factoring in who they're playing this week in the Atlanta Falcons, who are among the three worst defenses in the league week in and week out.
So obviously the injury report, we'll find out on Sunday morning show where to line these guys up. But for the Steelers right now, this is kind of where I was ranking Najee Harris. I don't think there's that big of a drop off from Najee Harris to Jaylen Warren, to be honest, at least for fantasy purposes. But I will note the Steelers are playing better football on offense since that bye, and it makes sense. We have multiple post bye rookie bump candidates. Right now their totals at 22.75 points, which is about a field goal plus higher than it typically is. So we'll see if Jaylen Warren's out there. He's been the lead back. He has absorbed bigger workloads. Benny Snell's just a tone setter, basically a fullback. So I think it would be Jalen Warren if he's healthy enough.
Okay, I'm just going to pick out a few here. Isaiah Pacheco at running back 23. The people might riot outside of your place right now seeing this one.
Where would you rank him? So my thought process is...
I'd rank him ahead of any of the Pittsburgh Steelers running backs.
Okay.
I mean, because it's the Chiefs running backs. And I know Cincinnati's defense, especially DJ Reader back, that's a massive change. Like, Cincinnati's defense is playing really well right now. But it's the Isaiah Pacheco show, kind of, in some ways. Like, Jerick McKinnon is filling in here, but they're playing in two different roles and different elements. Now, I am also with you where last week's inside the 5-yard line usage, which he had, what, 5 of those touches and only having like 1 or 2 in the previous 12 weeks of the season. I don't think that is sticky because, as we talked about in stats versus film, so many of them were at the end of the game when they knew the game was in hand. And they're also got all their creativity out of the way inside the 5-yard line earlier in the game too. But at the same time, he's the most likely one in that backfield to get 15 to 16 touches.
Yes, not very many receptions, I would argue. There's less likely this week because they're playing the Bengals for this kind of garbage time usage. So I'm kind of evening out what he's been as the lead back over the last month versus what he did last week. And Jerick McKinnon was still playing early on in the game. So tough ranking. The Chiefs also aren't projected for like 30 points this week. It's closer to 27, which doesn't sound like a big difference, but that could be one goal line opportunity. So yeah, I can be sold. Isaiah Pacheco could be higher, but the Chiefs, I mean, even like early on, like with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like dominating touches, we were ranking like RB 17. So I think this is about the right range.
And just quickly, Jeff Wilson, right after him, I get this one from the offensive tackle standpoint that we talked about and like the 49ers defensive line potentially beating up and not seeing those like running highways that Wilson had against some other teams this year. One final one. Okay. You have Rashad White, 2 spots ahead of Leonard Fournette. We haven't really gotten that much Leonard Fournette news heading into this game. And we just saw, obviously, Rashad White winning that backfield and dominating those touches. And then I also want to bring up Zonovan Knight there as running back 33. It sounds like Michael Carter, who's missed 2 straight days of practice now, I would say it's doubtful for him to play. Anything can happen. It's against the Minnesota Vikings, a run defense that is pretty good because of the bodies, passing defense that is bad. We'll get to that in a moment. But Zonovan Knight, I think, fits a Mike LaFleur-like offense quite well because he's kind of a straight line runner with a little bit of juice.
Yeah, I agree. He was mixing in before Michael Carter's injury, and I think they healthy scratched James Robinson because he's just not healthy right now and not explosive. And I think Zonovan Knight did a fine enough job last week for him to hold on to the job. It's just the Jets aren't projected for that many points, and there's some like low there's some floor risk with him. The other name that you mentioned, who was it again? Rashad White. I'm assuming that this is 60-40 split kind of in favor of Rashad White. I'm assuming Leonard Fournette's in. I will make massive rankings adjustments if we have some news here, but I don't think Rashad White's going to run away with this job. I think there will be some kind of combination. That's how I'm reflecting it right here.
All right, let's go on over to the wide receivers. These are pretty self-explanatory at the top. Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs. Now, my brain points to Hayden. If you have Tua Tagovailoa as like quarterback 15 or 16, then how the hell is Tyreek Hill as wide receiver 4? And how the hell
pretty
is
good
Jalen Waddle as wide receiver 19? You know,
well,
that makes me want to play Tua higher than that.
Well, I have basically eliminated Mike Gesicki from the rankings, and Tyreek Hill I've been ranking as number one overall, and Jalen Waddle as like 10th overall. So that's I've dinged them a little bit here. I just trust Tyreek Hill. He's been so dominant. So I want to play him versus everyone else. No, it makes sense. It makes sense.
I'm on Ross St. Brown. I mean, plug and play 10 to 12 targets and 100 yards-ish, and you're good. CeeDee Lamb after that, then Amari Cooper on the road, mind you. Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf, and then T. Higgins rounds out here the top 10. Keeping T. Higgins up there with, let's say, Ja'Marr Chase as wide receiver 12. It was weird. Ja'Marr Chase was still very productive with his hip injury the last time that we saw him. Now he's just been on crutches and it's just rest, and that's all he's been able to do. That's always a difficult ranking to me. Like, you're going to play Ja'Marr Chase no matter what, but you could get, let's say, boned by some bench spot that you play behind him who outperforms him this week.
Yeah, you don't want to get boned for sure. Ja'Marr Chase, he said, quote, "We're going to see how I feel later in the week, but I'm expecting to take some reps."
That kind of makes me think like 45% of the snaps.
And that's why I have him ranked below T. Higgins, is off that quote. Well, Jay Glazer, I know 2 minutes before kickoff, he's already known this for 4 months. He predicted this injury, and then he's just going to wait until lineups are basically locked before he drops every single news story ever. So expect that to happen. But yeah, I'm expecting this is going to be a shootout. You want to be playing these guys. We'll follow the news. That's why we have _NFL on Twitter.
Okay. Bone to pick with you. Why the hell is Christian Kirk at wide receiver 11 and Zay Jones at wide receiver 31?
Oh, God. Come on.
No, I'm serious. Like, what is the difference in that offense really between Christian Kirk and Zay Jones? Like, I understand that Christian Kirk got all the money, but I don't think it's easily predictable that Christian Kirk is just going to dominate in targets each week to that degree more than Zay Jones.
Over the last month, Christian Kirk, wide receiver 6 in usage, Zay Jones, wide receiver 18.
Well, isn't that a lot? Like, I mean,
they paid Christian Kirk $4 trillion. I'm ranking him ahead of Zay Jones. I'm sorry.
I think a lot of
that. I like both.
Well, that's just disrespect to Zay then. I mean, you're facing the Detroit Lions and you have him 13 spots below his expected half PPR projection. How dare you?
Go argue with somebody else about Zay Jones. I'm ranking him as my wide receiver 31. That should be a victory lap in itself.
A couple notable names here. Obviously, people are playing Christian Watson. We talked about him on Stats versus Film. You have him as wide receiver 17. Deebo Samuel just after that is wide receiver 18. Scheme is coming out tomorrow with Josh McCown. We talk a lot about this offense. I prefer Brandon Ayuk right now to Deebo Samuel. Now, Debo's just not – one, he's not getting explosive plays. And I actually looked this up. Last year, he had – 14% of his targets were 20 plus yards down the field. This year, it's at like 3 or 4%. Like, we're just not seeing that same big play factor. The other part is I would be terrified if I'm the rest of the NFC where everything's really clicking for the 49ers right now offensively, and Deebo still hasn't been 100% since they trade for Christian McCaffrey.
My model is dunking on Deebo Samuel this year. It's insane. Yeah. So, yeah, this is like hamstring related. We'll make some adjustments here. I think you can make rushes too. Yeah, for sure. And that's we'll figure that out. So I think there is a good argument that Brandon could be ahead of Deebo Samuel, but we'll iron that out the rest of the week.
Versus last week's usage with Juju Smith-Schuster, if he just got that same exact usage, you'd probably say, hey, we can't play him. But you have him here as wide receiver 20.
Yeah, I'm just betting on that theory that he was fully practicing but didn't clear the concussion protocol until Friday, and that's why they couldn't game plan around it. And with Chidobe Awuzie out on the Bengals secondary, I think I really want to get some Chiefs wide receiver has to be ranked inside the top 20 in this matchup, right?
Sure. I'm totally with you there. Anything you want to talk about with any of these other wide receivers? I mean, you have Treylon Burks as wide receiver 33. I'm looking at Garrett Wilson, who's at like wide receiver 15, I mean, the Vikings pass defense, they do not play man coverage. They only play zone coverage. They don't play press situations. They play off coverage. And I think Garrett Wilson could have a field day against that in terms of finding soft spots and then immediately winning after the catch with his unusual movement that he has.
On top of that, Vikings missing Cameron Dantzler, Lewis Cine, Andrew Booth. Those are all like highly respected prospects in the secondary. So Garrett Wilson averaging 17.5 expected half PPR points with non-Zach Wilson quarterbacks this year. He, I think, is going to ball out. So that's the aggressive ranking.
Okay. I think that's going to do it for these wide receivers. If you want the rest of the rankings, you can check them out in the description down below. Hey, you know what time it is? It's either sickos or tight end time. Basically, they're interchangeable at the moment.
No, there's like, do you want to get depressed or hyped? Let's get depressed first.
Okay.
I'm believing in Mark Andrews as the tight end too. He's dropped some touchdowns. He's just got to play better. Dalton Schultz, Hockenson, Freiermuth, I think are all balling out. Freiermuth really quietly though. Look at where he is on these like touchdowns. Like not scoring many touchdowns. Not expected to score that many touchdowns.
this chart is so ridiculous because of Travis Kelce.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
I mean, if you just eliminate him, it would look so much more beautiful and useful versus what this is.
But my Pat Freiermuth point is that we know he can score touchdowns. He's good at the game. And as the Steelers get better, I think that he will score some more touchdowns. So I'm remain bullish on Freiermuth. Foster Moreau's, I think, the streamer. Cole Kmet, we'll see. David Njoku, new knee injury, did not like that. Questionable, I think he'll be. And my final note, Dawson Knox, love the guy. But Matthew Judon, without their left tackle, we've seen Dawson Knox run fewer routes in games because of edge talent. I'm afraid that's going to happen here to some degree. So I moved Dawson Knox down. And then, like, you get to these names, like your Jelani Woods and all that stuff, Noah Fant, Greg Dulcich. It's bad down here.
It is. It is really bad. I just want to, because he's gotten a lot of shit because of where he was drafted this year in fantasy football. I truly feel like the Christian McCaffrey move opens doors for George Kittle in a big way. Like, since that trade, you know, he has 6 for 98 and a touchdown, 3 for 39 and a score. Then he had, you know, a 21-yard performance, but then 4 for 84 and 2 scores. And this past weekend, when they just, it felt like they were just going to run the ball because they knew the Saints weren't going to score on them, it was 3 for 26. And going through again that offense with Josh McCown, they constantly do a higher, lower scenario against coverages with Christian McCaffrey underneath and then George Kittle above.
Kittle over the last month, tight end 4 on tight end 17 usage now. Like, I don't look at usage for George Kittle ever because the guy absolutely 360 dunks on my face every single year with the model. And rightfully so, we all know George Kittle is a total beast out there. So usual kind of tougher ranking for me. But I mean, George Kittle versus these other guys, you have to be thrilled to have George Kittle.
By the way, be more like George. Handsome man right here. Leave a comment after the show. Give a thumbs up. Tell your friends about the channel. Subscribe. Thank you, George. We appreciate it. All right. Sicko's time.
Let's go. This is pretty straightforward. You either have the Cowboys and the Ravens, or you are struggling out there.
Whoa. This Packers thing. Is it because it's the Justin Fields sack rate that from, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks ago? I feel like this needs to be adjusted a little bit. No,
he doesn't have
Gary.
A left shoulder. He doesn't have a left shoulder.
And no, why
Darnell Mooney?
I don't know. I feel like that we need to adjust to, like, just for him over the last four games versus the whole season for Justin Fields. Because people are going to go out there and be like, Hayden told me. Like, they're going to tell their girlfriend on Monday morning in tears when they missed the playoffs because of this weekend because they started the Packers defense because of you.
Well, maybe they'll take their girlfriend out on a date for once in their life instead of grinding sicko chart stuff. Other defenses I like, Seahawks, Commanders, Eagles, Bucks, obviously the Browns against the Texans, Bills defense tonight's good. And then the Steelers defense, TJ Watt, I wrote about TJ Watt here. On off splits with TJ Watt is absurd for the Steelers. So go out there.
Yeah, I actually thought he even looked banged up last week, but a couple weeks ago, he was by far the best player on the field. All right. All you sickos, we appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with a special guest with our 15 of our guys, our favorite plays ahead of week 13. Enjoy tonight. Go play on Underdog Fantasy. Go play Pick'em right now. It's the best way to, you know, get leverage, get some visibility on the Josh Allens, the Stephon Diggs. Heck.
McKenzie's
only at 3 receptions as a higher or lower, 29 and a half receiving yards.
You're so back in on Isaiah McKenzie. There was a week or two when he dropped some passes where everybody, including yourself, was out on Isaiah McKenzie.
If I'm allowed to call a lock of the week, it's 29 and a half higher for Isaiah McKenzie.
Please search Nick Chubb's higher or lower. And before, tell me how many yards before you would say, fine, I'm taking the lower.
Fine, I'm taking the lower at 112.
Okay.
91 and a half rushing yards.
That's my favorite.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for us. If you've never played Pick'em, it's the perfect thing for your weekend. You can 20X by just picking 5 correctly. Use promo code THE SHOW. There's a link in the description down below. We'll match your first deposit. Up to $100. Hurry up. We got to get out of here before 40 minutes.
Fill one out and then take your girlfriend on a date to Buffalo Wild Wings and sweat it out. How about
that? All right. That's going to do it for us. For Hayden, I'm Josh. Up the Vela. Thank you, everyone. Talk to y'all soon. See ya.